Challenges to True Freedom, Political Prisoners, and the NSL's Suppression in Hong Kong. Commentary. As this article unfolds, the Hong Kong District Council election campaign is in full swing, with pro-Beijing candidates actively canvassing. The election, slated for December 10, 2023, follows the Pan-Democratic camp's substantial victory in the 2019 District Council election. However, the subsequent disqualification of pro-democracy district councillors by the Hong Kong government, combined with the implementation of the national security law and electoral changes in 2021 and 2023, has raised formidable barriers for aspiring candidates. The three levels of pre-screening, essentially pro-Beijing gatekeepers, hinder the democratic process. In tandem with these political developments, Kwok Chuk-in, a lifelong member of the Hong Kong Democratic Party, applied for a judicial review challenging the stringent entry criteria for the race. Information from Mr. Kwok suggests a potential one-day trial around the end of November to determine the constitutionality of the current election arrangement. Sadly, recent developments, including Mr. Kwok being labeled a non-registered voter, indicate the Hong Kong government's likely resistance to any legal challenges, seeking to discredit him and maintain control. Furthermore, Hong Kong recently hosted the second World Global Financial Leaders Investment Summit, followed by the APEC Summit in San Francisco. Notably, Chief Executive John Lee Kaw-chiu's inability to attend the APEC Summit due to U.S. sanctions echoes the fate of his predecessor, former Chief Executive Carrie Lam. The aftermath of these summits prompts contemplation. Did anything positive transpire from Hong Kong's perspective? Regrettably, since the implementation of the National Security Law on June 30, 2020, Hong Kong has witnessed a stifling of its people, an exodus of businesses, and the departure of Hong Kongers in pursuit of a better future. The extensive makeover orchestrated by the Chinese Communist Party, from press freedom to judicial independence and free speech to national education, starkly contradicts the one country, two systems principle outlined in the Basic Law, Hong Kong's mini-constitution. The term Lion Rock Spirit, symbolizing the resilience of Hong Kongers, has taken on new meaning. The imposition of the National Security Law in June 2020 has prompted concerns about the erosion of political freedoms, hindering Hong Kong residents' ability to engage in meaningful election campaigns. The law, granting the Chinese government vast powers to suppress dissent, raises fears for activities deemed threats to national security. I find myself at a boba tea place in Toronto, contemplating Hong Kong's journey. Another war is being fought, the broken promise of upholding one country, two systems until 2047, with freedom fighters silenced, arrested, and unjustly awaiting trial. In November, the United States introduced the Hong Kong Sanctions Act, targeting figures such as Hong Kong's Chief of Justice, Police Commissioner, and designated national security judges. If this bill becomes law, both the Hong Kong government and Beijing are likely to retaliate. As the boba tea place prepares to close, I conclude my opinion piece. Since leaving Hong Kong on June 28, 2021, not a day has passed without thoughts of the political prisoners unjustly detained due to the national security law. Perhaps it's a form of survivor's guilt. During this Thanksgiving week in the U.S., I pray for miracles for the freedom of Jimmy Lai, Benny Tai, Joshua Wong, and all those unjustly incarcerated. Free Hong Kong is more than a slogan, it's a cause we, as Hong Kongers worldwide, must passionately defend. May we all hold on to hope for a free Hong Kong someday. Edward Chin runs a family office. Chin was formerly country head of a UK publicly listed hedge fund, the largest of its kind measured by asset under management. Outside the hedge fund space, Chin is convener of 2047 Hong Kong Monitor and a senior advisor of Reporters Without Borders. Chin studied speech communication at the University of Minnesota and received his MBA from the University of Toronto.